Friends, we live in a developed country, so when a bridge or a building collapses or a plane crashes, we want to know why. Was it human error, mechanical failure? Were weather conditions a contributing factor? We ask these questions because we want to learn and possibly do better and get better in the future. But we also investigate because we want to know if a person, group of persons, or even a company cut corners, and by doing so, put the public at risk. An example of this is the Boeing Corporation's 737 MAX airplane, and specifically its flight control system. A lot of blame has rightly been cast upon Boeing for the crash of two of their 737 MAX airliners and the deaths of 346 people. Now, planes, bridges, and buildings are designed, built, and manufactured by people and companies. Viruses, like COVID-19, on the other hand, typically just happen. Their origins are not as clear and can take years to pinpoint and understand. But here's the thing. I've wondered and I've been watching to see how long it would take before someone claimed that COVID-19 must be the judgment of God. A person with a ministry on Capitol Hill who leads a Bible study attended by some White House staffers and also members of Congress has pointed the finger of blame. Ralph Drollinger writes in his Bible study, "I do not believe America is experiencing the forsaking wrath of God, but yes, America is experiencing the consequential wrath of God." He goes on writing, "Today's America is not by and large characterized by people who are unfaithful to God's precepts. Conversely, there is only a small minority of individuals who are grossly disobedient to God, individuals to whom the five indicators of Romans 1 apply. Unfortunately, for the vast majority of faithful individuals in America, too many of the unfaithful have been allowed by the faithful to gain high positions of influence in our culture, high positions in our government, our educational system, our media, and our entertainment industry. This is tragic, unfortunate, and costly," unquote. So who are these grossly disobedient people, according to Drollinger? Well, among the list in his Bible study are LGBTQ persons and environmentalists. Now, to be fair, his list is broader than just these, and nowhere in his study does Drollinger mention COVID-19. But his study, entitled "Is God Judging America Today?" was interestingly released on March 21st, just a few days ago, right amid our COVID-19 national emergency. And then he adds these ominous words about these unfaithful folks. They are in high positions of influence in our culture, seemingly suggesting that we need to identify and remove these unfaithful, grossly disobedient people. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds a bit dystopian to me. Behind his study is the belief that if something bad is happening, then someone caused it. Someone has done something wrong, and they are to blame. They have sinned, and God is judging them. But I'm caught up in the overflow of God's judgment. Friends, this is simply bad and distorted, hurtful theology. Some years ago, good friends of mine, as young married couples, joined a church planting team in England. They were so excited. They both shared a deep longing to reach people in other cultures, in diverse places, for Christ. While in England, this young husband and wife joyfully discovered they were pregnant. Weeks into the pregnancy, the baby was lost in a miscarriage. They were absolutely devastated. But shortly thereafter, a member of their planting team approached them and asked, "Which one of you sinned that God caused this miscarriage?" As you can imagine, my friends, already devastated by the loss of their baby, were mortified by the question. They were so emotionally and spiritually beaten down and violated by this team member that my friends left the planting team and returned home to the United States. Thankfully, over time and with the help of mature and loving Christians, God comforted and brought healing, and they went on into years of vital, prosperous ministry that has touched hundreds and even thousands of lives. But the damage this twisted theology causes has always stuck with me, even as I see it now propagated in these times, like when people are anxious, even scared, and perhaps susceptible to twisted theologies that seek to blame people someone defines as unfaithful, grossly disobedient people. Jesus encountered this kind of theology in his days. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, we read, quote, "As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him.'" You see, Jesus completely rejects the theology of causational judgment. There was nothing of sin and God's judgment in this man's story. His blindness is tragic, and Jesus sees it as an opportunity to demonstrate God's loving compassion, God's glory. In this story, Jesus says, quote, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, Jesus heals the man, restoring his sight. Now, I love the fact that Jesus says, "We must work the works of the one who sent me." Not just Jesus, the Son of God, but his followers. That's you and me. We're not here to propagate twisted, distorted theologies of sin and judgment that blame groups of people and God for a virus. We're here to heal, to give comfort, to pray, to listen, to be the presence of God's love and light, hope and mercy for all people. In another incident, Jesus raised this issue of this twisted theology, and we find it in Luke chapter 13. Listen to this story. "At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, 'Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Again, Jesus completely rejects this idea that God is waiting for me to sin so he can slap me in the back of the head, or even worse, cause a miscarriage or send a virus that can kill me and my neighbor. Here, Jesus addresses the judgmental spirit of people who support this distorted theology of God's wrath. These are the people who, in their self-righteousness, stand in the crowd, pointing their fingers, condemning others, and calling down God's judgment. Jesus calls these people to repentance, to turn away from this judging, condemning, blame theology and to orient themselves toward God and the heart of God, which is to, quote, work the works of the one who sent me, unquote. That is, to comfort, to heal, to pray, to be ambassadors of God's loving, redeeming, hope-filled presence to all. And I'll add here, it includes followers of Jesus who go into the science vocations, who are in the laboratories, who are in the hospitals and research centers looking for treatments and discovering vaccines, applying those treatments and vaccines directly to people who come seeking aid and comfort. Listen, friends, I get it. When we're scared, when we don't know how to fight something, when we feel vulnerable against an invisible foe, we can easily get seduced into blaming a person or a certain demographic, or even in this case, a country, China. We can almost imperceptibly begin to think about these people in darker ways. We may not give voice to these thoughts, but we also don't speak up when others say unseemly things against the blame group, when they assign demeaning labels or even suggest or commit acts of violence. Let me be clear. COVID-19 is not the judgment of God. It is a virus that joins the long procession of scary health issues that we have faced before. Polio, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, malaria, SARS, Ebola, MERS, influenza, and many more. And there will be more. So let me offer you these few responses as we wrap up. First, let's celebrate that God is the God of redeeming love, who desires that none should perish, but that all would flourish. Let's celebrate that there is a wideness in God's mercy. God is the God who loves the whole world and not just the ones who think they're loving him back. God has already once and for all poured out his judgment against sin when Jesus died on a Roman cross. Let's celebrate this marvelous, grace-lavishing, wideness in mercy God revealed supremely to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, let's celebrate science and our God-given ability to study, to hypothesize, to test, to treat, to prevent, and even to cure diseases of all kinds all over the world. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to inspire these amazing scientists who right now are working feverishly, tirelessly to find treatments, best practices, and vaccines for COVID-19. Thirdly, let's give thanks to God for women and men who serve on the front line of responding, triaging, and treating people infected with the virus. In some places, they are overwhelmed and undersupplied. Let's pray for strength, wisdom, and ability to utilize best practices for their safety and the health of their patients. Let's pray for governments and industry to get them everything needed to fight this virus and to heal people. Lastly, let's recommit ourselves to join with Jesus, the Son of God, not condemning the world, not blaming people or groups of people, but working with Jesus to be lights to the world, lights of hope, encouragement, welcome, refuge, peace, and healing. I'd like to invite you to join me as we pray. Gracious, loving, redeeming, wide in mercy, God, thank you that you did not give your Son Jesus to condemn us, but to bring us life, abundant and eternal. We are grateful that your very nature is to seek, to invite, and to welcome all. Save us from our eagerness to embrace theologies of blame and judgment. Forgive us when we treat people as the unfaithful ones and see ourselves as so righteous. Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, give us willing hearts to stand and work with you to welcome, to forgive, to set free, to pray for, and to love our neighbors in this new week. Lord, we pray as well for all medical and first responders in our communities and around the world. Give them safety. Keep them in your peace. Give them wisdom and ability to listen, comfort, and treat. We thank you for scientists and especially pray for those working to test potential treatments and vaccines for COVID-19. Give them imaginations to see new possibilities of new treatments, of new practices, and new vaccines. Give them success that will bless and heal many. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and Healer, we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.